Reading from The Unknown Reality, Volume 2 by Jane Roberts, a Seth book. This is a continuation. So, in continuing session 708, going directly to practice element number 10. Okay, so Seth states, you can hold within your conscious attention far more data than you realize. You have hypnotized yourselves into believing that your awareness is highly limited. Think back to yesterday. Try to remember what you did when you got up, what you wore. Attempt to follow the sequence of your activities from the time you awakened until you went to sleep. Then flesh in the details. Try to recall your feelings at all of those times. Most of you will be lucky to get this far. Those who do, go even further and try to recall the daydreams you might have had also. Try to remember what stray thoughts came into your mind. At first, doing this will take all of your attention. You might do the exercise sitting quietly or riding a bus or waiting for someone in an office. Some of you might be able to do the exercise while performing a more or less automatic series of actions, but do not try to carry this out while driving your car, for example. As you become more expert at it, then purposely do something else at the same time, a physical activity, for instance. When most of you began this exercise, it will almost seem as if you were a sleepwalker yesterday. The precise fine alignment of senses with physical activity will seem simply lost. Yet, as you progress, the details will become clear, and you will find that you can at least hold within your mind certain aspects of yesterday's reality while maintaining your hold in today. In larger terms, there are other entire lives, which for you are forgotten essentially as yesterday is. These two, however, are a secondary series of activities riding beneath your present primary concern. They are as unconsciously a part of your present and as connected with it as yesterday is. Now, the second part of the exercise. Imagine vividly what you will do tomorrow, and in detail plan a probable day that will rise naturally from your present experience, behavior, and purpose. Follow through as you did with the first part of the exercise. That day's reality is already anticipated by your cells. Your body has prepared for it, all of its functions precognitively projecting their own existences into it. Your quote-unquote future, your future life exists in the same manner, and in your terms, grows as much out of your present as tomorrow grows out of your today. Doing the exercise will simply acquaint your normal consciousness with the sense of its own flexibility. You will be exercising the invisible muscles of your consciousness as certainly as you might exercise your body with gymnastics. To other portions of yourself, you would seem to be a sleepwalker, full of creative participation in any moment, however, awakens you to your own potentials, and therefore allows you to experience a unity between your own consciousness and the comprehension of your physical selves. Those cells are as spiritual as your soul is. Now, to one extent or another, in your society, you are taught to not trust yourself. There are various schools and religions that try to express the self's validity, but their distortions have smothered the basic authenticity of the teachings. In those terms, Rupert started from scratch as a member of your society who finally threw aside, as you did, Joseph, the current frameworks of belief. For some time, he was simply between belief systems, discarding some entirely, accepting portions of others, but mainly he was a pioneer in this while carrying the largely unrealized basic belief of society that you cannot trust the self. While that emotionally invisible belief is carried, then anything the self does must be scrutinized, put to the test. In the meantime, beliefs that have sustained others are suspended. The development of Rupert's abilities would, therefore, lead him away from comforting structures while he searched for others to sustain him. He has put to the test much of what he has learned. His own personality has blossomed in all aspects, especially in terms of relating with others and in personal creativity. He has been testing out our information in the world that he knows. He felt that it was necessary, for how could the self, taught that it was bad, bring forth good? There were frameworks that could have offered help, but he saw that they were not intrinsically valid, and so did not depend upon them. Okay, so Rob notes, in his material above, Seth, concerning Jane's search for newer, larger frameworks of belief once she began to dispense with her old, quote-unquote, comforting ideas, Seth very lucidly dealt with certain aspects of the roles she's chosen for this life. However, I want to emphasize here the emotional terms of Jane's search and state that at times those qualities have been very difficult for her to contend with. To some degree, she's been involved in many changes of belief also, but I'm a participator in the development of the Seth material, not its originator. The pressures and challenges aren't as demanding. With a humor born out of many a struggle, however, I note that it isn't easy to give up certain cherished old beliefs, even when they're demonstrably wrong. They may fit the personality all too well. So when Appendix 14 is ready, it says to go to Appendix 14 for Jane's little episode that developed on Jane's part as we retired for the evening. Okay, so first of all, session notes, let me just say this is getting daunting, all right? Now, Tim Hart Hart's channel. He has done pretty much every Seth book. He's awesome. It's all there. So I'm going to give links to each one of these things here and just read the ones that I think are necessary. He's wanting you to go to Personal Reality, sessions 623 to 625 in Chapter 5. Okay, and then note 3 says, in Volume 1 of Unknown Reality, see the 681st session from 1147 and the 682nd session from 1021. Okay, so I'm going to give those links for Tim Hart Hart for Volume 1. Number 4, the sessions in Chapter 5 of Personal Reality, referred to in Note 2, contains information on the functions of the body's inner sound, light, and electromagnetic values. And I will give that also. And Session 625 especially mentions those attributes on atomic and molecular levels. 625 of Personal Reality. Okay, so mentions that twice. See Appendix 4, which would be in Volume 1. That I'm not sure if Tim Hart Hart has done, if he did the appendix. I will look. But I will give these links for you guys. If you are so interested in studying this for the real, the way that it was designed to be studied. Number 6, Volume 1. All of the material in Session 686, including that for Practice Element Number 1, can apply here. Since Tim Hart Hart has literally already done Volume 1, and you guys can go and read this volume, that volume, and all of the Seth books, I don't even know if what I'm doing is necessary, honestly. Because he has done it. Yeah, the recording is kind of sounding in the background, you know. But, you know, he's reading it, he's giving you the material. The only thing that sucks, in my personal view, is that he's not showing you the pages. And some of you probably don't even look at the pages, which you should, because I make mistakes sometimes. And when I do, I put them up on the screen so you guys can see what the right word was. And that can make all the difference in understanding this material. Anyways, so I don't know. You guys let me know whether it's even necessary for me to continue doing this. I mean, check out Tim Hart's channel and let me know what you think. I think that there's probably about maybe 40, maybe 50 people that are subscribers that get little alerts. As far as I can tell, I don't actually know that to be a fact, but based on how many people watch a video after I've posted it within, like, say, 24 hours or even a week. So, I don't know. I just don't want to, spend so much time on something that you guys are just like, oh, it's already been done. Why are you doing this, Amanda? So let me know. Anyways, let's continue. Session note number 7 says, all in volume 1. Seth refers to some varieties of ancient man in session 689. And you can see note 4 and in session 691 after 10:30. Then see the appendix number 6. For Jane's material on parallel man, alternate man, and probable man. Rob adds, in addition, the reader might review Seth's information on ancient civilizations as presented in chapter 15 of Seth Speaks. Okay, I'll put that link. You guys can read these other notes if you want to. I'm gonna go down to note 11. Rob notes, the 699th session in Volume 1 dealt in part with dream images and subjective dream quote unquote photographs. I used Note 1 for that session to insert one of my favorite Jane poems, My Dreaming Self. She wrote it in 1965, a year and a half or so after beginning the Seth material. Now, I can add that at the time, Jane actually wrote two poems on dreaming. I've been saving the second one for use in Volume 2, and that one is In Midnight Thickets, which is actually a really neat little poem, so I'm going to read it. In Midnight Thickets. In midnight thickets, dreamers plunge while the moon shines calmly on. The town is sleeping. Bodies lie neat and empty side by side. But every self sneaks out alone in darkness with no image on. And travels freely, all alert, roads unlisted on a map. No man can find where he has been, or follow in flesh where the self tread, or keep the self in though doors are closed, for the self moves through wood and stone. No man can find the post or sign that led the self through such strange land. The way is gone, the self returns to slip its smooth-skinned image on. Okay, so note 12, Rob is saying to go to session 681 in volume 1 on Jane's experience involving massiveness and long sound between 10:22 and 11:47 for data on one of her massive experiences. But that session's accompanying appendix 3. So then in this section of volume 2, see both note 9 and appendix 19 for the 712th session, which we will get to later, concerning material on Jane's long sound trances. During one of these, it could theoretically take her a week or centuries of our time to produce just one syllable of one word. And that is so interesting. I can't wait to get to that because it is just crazy, crazy cool. Anyways, number 13, Rob notes by quote unquote neurons, obviously Seth means the synapses. the minute sites where neurons or nerve cells contact each other. Okay, so that is really all the pertinent notes, I would say. Now, I know in a couple videos back I said I would probably do the Appendix 12 first. I've not done that, obviously. It is really long, you guys. You don't even know. It's really long. It has lots of notes from Rob, and he's like setting up the Seth excerpt. You know what I mean? So it's going to take me some time. I may have to do the appendixes last, unfortunately. Subscribe, and you will get the next videos. Thank you for watching.